Well, praise the Lord. This is Mark Irvin, and I'm glad to be with you again for another teaching, for another lesson on foundation for Bible basics. In our last lesson, we were teaching about the ministry of laying on of hands, or the purpose of laying on of hands. Our text is taken from Hebrews, the sixth chapter, And before we get into the message, let's go before our Father and let's ask Him to guide us. Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you again for each and every Bible school student. It's an honor to be able to minister to them in this way. Thank you for this wonderful tool of the internet, all the technology that we have to be able to share your word with. And Father, it's such an honor to be involved in what you're doing in these last days, to be involved in the outpouring of your Spirit, to be involved in the end time move. And Father, I pray in Jesus' name that this message, that this teaching would come forth in a way that each and every person could understand, that the Holy Spirit would give revelation to them. And this is what I pray, and this is what I believe for right now. In Jesus' name, I pray and we pray. Amen. You can open your Bible to Hebrews, the sixth chapter. And this is the text that we've been using for this class. In Hebrews 6, it talks about the different principles of the doctrine of Christ. And I want to jump right down to verse 2. It says, of the doctrine of baptisms and of laying on of hands. And of laying on of hands. Laying on of hands is one of the foundational doctrines of the Bible. It's something that came out of the Old Testament into the New Testament. There are some things that came out of the Old Testament that also exist in the New Testament, and this is one of the practices that existed in the Old and now exists in the New. You can go with me to Acts the 13th chapter. Acts the 13th chapter. It is a New Testament practice to lay hands upon those that are separated for the fivefold ministry. Fivefold ministry meaning those that are called to either teach or preach the Word of God. The pulpit ministries. There are five pulpit ministries. Five pulpit ministries. It's apostle, the prophet, the evangelist, the pastor, and the teacher. Apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher. And Paul and Barnabas did not start out as apostles. They started out in other places in the fivefold ministry. In Acts the 13th chapter, we see this in verse 1. Acts 13 and verse 1. It says, now there were in the church that was Antioch certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas and Simeon, that was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene and Manaen, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. Saul there is a reference to Paul. This was the name that he had before his name was changed to Paul. This church at Antioch was one of the Galatian churches, and it is located in what we know as modern-day Turkey. It was a mixture of Jews and Gentile converts, Jewish and Gentile converts. This came about due to believers that fled from Jerusalem. They fled from Jerusalem when persecution broke out after the stoning of Stephen. Stephen was the first martyr in the New Testament. Saul was actually responsible. The Bible says that they laid the garments at Saul's feet when they stoned Stephen, referring to the fact that Paul was the one that was responsible. He was the one that actually started the persecution against the believers before he was born again. Some of the believers preached to the Jews of the city. They preached to the Jews of this city. And other believers known as Hellenists or Greek-speaking Jews preached to the Gentiles. This is the place where believers are called Christians for the first time in Antioch. And we see in this church, the body of Christ, as a result of a person's conversion to Christ, we see not their race, their culture, or their language. There has to be unity in the body of Christ. And this is a good example of two races or different cultures coming together and becoming one in unity. How important that is. It's not what nation you're from. It's not what, whether you're a male, whether you're a female. It's not what kind of culture or language that you have or speak. But what matters is whether or not you're in the body of Christ. And when you come into the body of Christ, you become one. One with Christ and one with your brother or your sister in the Lord, regardless of the nation that they come from, regardless of their background. We have a big family. We are in the family of God. Prior to Barnabas and Saul going out from this church as apostles, they were in Antioch for a full year teaching the new believers. They spent a full year teaching the new believers before leaving this church to go out into other churches or to go out and start other churches. They knew the importance of making disciples out of converts. It was so important to them not just to go in and get people saved, but they knew how important it was that they make disciples out of these converts. And I'll tell you, that's one of the reasons that we have this international internet Bible school. It's a tool, and it's going to be a great tool that God will use in the future, because there's going to be a day that we're going to launch into a greater evangelistic flow. We have a tent right now, and I know that there's going to be a day we're going to launch that tent, and that tent's going to be a great tool to be able to bring people to Jesus. And I'm believing for God to raise up evangelists through this ministry, to bring in a great harvest and motivate the body of Christ, to bring in a great harvest. But you know, it's not just going into a place and getting people born again. After people are born again, it's important that they are discipled. I remember in America, we used to have a big fish fry every Labor Day weekend. Labor Day weekend is a special holiday in America. And, you know, sometimes we would go to the lake. This was at a place in the middle of America in Kansas. This is actually where my American ministry is based from. It's a place called Living Water Ranch. It's a place that my parents and family lives. They run and operate this Christian camping conference ministry. But every year at Labor Day weekend, we used to have a big fish fry and water baptismal service, and people would come from all over. We catch a lot of fish in 2 weeks' time. And one thing I noticed as I was growing up is, man, people like to come and catch the fish, and we could catch a lot of fish. But when it came time to taking all those fish up and cleaning them, that wasn't so much fun, and we didn't have so many people helping. And you know, it's the same way. People rejoice and get all excited about bringing people to Jesus, and yes, that's absolutely the most important thing that we could do. But you know, after people are born again, it's important that they're discipled. It's important that they're cleaned up in their soul. You know what I mean by that? I'm not talking about in their spirit, because God's already cleaned them up on the inside. They become righteous. They become the righteousness of God in Christ. But they still have a process of change that each believer goes through after they're born again, and that process of change is in the soul. And that's why they need to be discipled. They need to know the Word of God. They need to know what God's Word has to say about Christian living. They need revelation. And that's one of the great benefits of being able to have this international internet Bible school. We can use this as a tool to disciple brand new believers, to help them in their new walk with Jesus, in their new walk with the Father. Well, anyway, from this period of time on, the book of Acts focuses on the ministry to the Gentiles and the ministry of spreading the gospel around the world. Paul replaces Peter as the central figure in the book of Acts. Paul completed 3 missionary journeys, and he ends up being imprisoned in Jerusalem and transported to Rome. The book of Acts ends abruptly, showing that the history of the church is not yet complete. Who is continuing to complete the history of the book of Acts? You and I. The book of Acts is the beginning of the church age. And we are in that age, and we are continuing to write history as God works through us. The book of Acts should have been called, or others have titled it, the Acts of the Believers. Not just the Acts of the Apostles, but the Acts of the Believers, because God is moving. He's not just moving through the Apostles. He's not just moving through the Prophets, but He moves through believers. And that's every one of you that is listening. You are a part of writing the history of the church age. So anyway, that's a little bit of history about the book of Acts, a little bit of history about this church that was Antioch. And these men were praying. They were seeking the Lord. They were fasting. Let's go back to Acts 13 and verse 1. It says, "Again, now there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas and Simeon, that was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene and Mananaean, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch and Saul." And then in verse 2, "As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said," notice they were fasting, they were ministering unto the Lord. Yes, fasting can be a practice that you use in your life. It's not only an Old Testament practice, but we see here they practiced it in the New Testament. I'm not going to tell you to go on 40-day fasts, but I will tell you that it is a practice of the New Testament. And you know, it's not just abstaining from a meal, but it's literally living a fasted life, a life of obedience. "As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them." So as they ministered and fasted, the Holy Ghost, He said something. He said, "Separate me." You see, Barnabas and Saul, they were already in the ministry. They were already teaching and preaching the word. But now they're going to go to another level, or they're going to go to another dimension of ministry. And that's exactly what the Holy Spirit said. He said, "Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them." The church set apart Barnabas and Saul for the work that God had for them. The word "set apart" means, or the term "set apart" means, to dedicate for a special purpose. It was time for them to step in to their main calling. And that main calling for them was the apostolic calling, to leave this church and to go forth and establish other churches, to pioneer new churches. Verse 3, "And when they had fasted and prayed," now here it is, "and when they had fasted and prayed," notice what they did. These are leaders. They're going to be set apart. They're going to be sent away. It says, "And when they had fasted and prayed," and notice, "and laid their hands on them." What did they do? They laid their hands on them, and they sent them away. Why did they do that? They laid their hands to pass on a blessing. They laid their hands upon Barnabas and Saul to show their support. They laid their hands upon them to transfer the anointing, that they could all transfer the anointing that was on the inside into them to go forth and do the work that God had called them to do. Well, let's look at another place in the New Testament of a leader that was put into a position of ministry by the use of the laying on of hands. Go with me to 1 Timothy, the 4th chapter. 1 Timothy, the 4th chapter. Timothy was a pastor in the New Testament, and here we have Timothy placed into his pastoral office, or Paul makes reference to the time that he was placed into his pastoral office. Paul is encouraging Timothy at this time not to quit, not to give up. Timothy was going through a difficult time in his life. He had to confront some situations in the church. People were going against him. There was a lot of persecution. If I understand correctly, he lost over a third of his leadership because of it. And he's kind of discouraged. And so Paul writes to him, you know, there's one verse that says, stir up the gift, Timothy, that is in you. Well, here in 1 Timothy 4 and verse 14, it says, neglect not the gift that is in thee. Paul was referring to Timothy's ministry gift, the gift of being a pastor, which was given thee by prophecy. Prophecy came along and confirmed to Timothy that he was called to this area of ministry with, notice, here it is, with what? It says, with the laying on of the hands of the presbytery. The presbytery is the leadership. And so Timothy was placed into a position of ministry also by the use of the laying on of hands. Wow. Isn't that powerful? So the laying on of hands is not only something that is practiced in the Old Testament to place leadership into position, but it's also a practice in the New Testament. And it's important, you know, as a minister of the gospel, I've had hands laid upon me. I remember when I was going to Rhema Bible Training Center in America. And, you know, before I could get ordained by that ministry or confirmed by that ministry, I had to go out for a couple of years and prove character, prove faithfulness. And once we had done that and had proven ourselves to be called of God, to be in that, to be called of God, to be in ministry, then I was able to go back to my Bible school roots and have hands laid on me, and have hands laid on me through by Kenneth Hagin. And that was a wonderful opportunity. It was a wonderful privilege. And then, you know, when I was a teenager, there was one time that I was in one of Kenneth Copeland's services, and Kenneth Copeland had a word, had a prophetic word, and called me forward and laid hands upon me. And, you know, I thank God, and I've had many other ministers that have laid hands upon me through my life, even before coming to Germany. There was one of the Bible school teachers at Rhema. It was impressed upon his heart to call me forward and to lay hands. And you know, those are deposits that I've been able to receive. And not only has God called me and equipped me from the inside, but God also has used other people in my life to put deposits into me. And this is what the laying on of hands will do. It will put deposits on the inside of you that you need from other people. We are not islands in ourself, but we do need the body of Christ, and we need other people in the body of Christ, and we need what they have to give to us as the Lord inspires them to deposit things into us. And so through the laying on of hands, the anointing can be transferred. Through the laying on of hands, people are placed into ministry, fivefold ministry positions. There's a scripture in 1 Timothy, the 5th chapter, and verse 22, 1 Timothy, the 5th chapter, and verse 22, it says, lay hands suddenly on no man, neither be partaker of another man's sins. Keep thyself pure. Lay hands suddenly on no man. Why does it say that? Well, the setting here is the setting of a minister that has fallen. He's fallen into some kind of reproach, some kind of sin. And the Bible says not to immediately put that person right back into a position of ministry. And that's what Paul is saying here to Timothy. He's saying, Timothy, if people have fallen, if they have fallen in a way that it has led a lot of people astray, that it's important that they are not immediately placed, but that they have time to heal, they have time to correct, and I don't know how long that is. I can't say that. I just know that it's important that not to rush things when people are going through difficult times in their life or they've fallen into sin in their life, to place them instantly back into a position of ministry. And so that's what Paul is referring to here when he talks about laying hands suddenly upon no man. Well, not only is the laying on of hands used in the New Testament to pray for people to be placed into fivefold ministry positions, but it also is a practice that is used to place people into the ministry of helps. It's a practice in the New Testament that is used to place people into the ministry of helps. Thank God for the ministry of helps. The ministry of helps is so important. And, you know, we're going to have a class in the future about the ministry of helps and all the different areas of ministry that people can be involved with and how important those areas of ministry are in the body of Christ. But notice here in Acts chapter 6, a ministry of helps is simply a helper position. These are all the other areas of ministry that help the fivefold to do what God has called them to do, to preach and teach. And in one way or another, these ministries are assisting them. The ministry of helps would be praise and worship. It would be running the sound system. It would be being an usher or a treasurer or a greeter or Sunday school teacher or whatever it is that is in the heart of the minister that is leading that ministry to get done, and God will bring people into his life. I have wonderful people in my life that are helping me. I thank God for our people that do our internet and build our website and help us with the recording and the praise and worship people and the musicians and the people that clean and the people that help us with tent ministry and the people that help us with working or ministering to the children, and on and on and on the list goes. You know, God sees every single place in the body of Christ as important. And because of that, the laying on of hands is used to place people into these helper ministry positions. Acts chapter 6. Notice Acts chapter 6 and verse 1. It says, "And in those days, when the number of the disciples was multiplied, there arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Jews because their widows were neglected in the daily ministration." Again, it says, "And in those days, when the number of the disciples was multiplied," so we have the church of Jerusalem growing. Many people have come to know Jesus. They're born again. The Bible says that the Lord added daily to the church such as should be saved. We know that the day of Pentecost started with 3,000 people being born again on that day as a result of the 120 that were out in the streets that had been baptized with the Holy Spirit before this time. We also have the example of the man that was laid at the gate called Beautiful that walked. And as a result of the lame man walking, 5,000 people were born again. So this is a pretty good-sized church by this time. And as a church grows, it's important that the leadership grow. It's important that the ministry of helps grow. And so notice it says, "And again, and in those days when the number of the disciples was multiplied, there arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews." Well, this term Grecian actually means the Greek-speaking Jews against the Hebrews because their widows were neglected in the daily ministration. Well, why were they murmuring? Because you have two cultures here in this brand new church. You have the Greek-speaking Jews that were not taught the law. They didn't come up under the Old Testament. And then you have the Hebrews, and these were the ones that were committed to the Old Testament teaching. They were committed to the law. They were committed to keeping the sacrifices and all the different things that were required of them. So you have two different cultures. And one of the things about the two cultures is the care of the widows. If you were a Jew, it was an honor for you in your old age to come to Jerusalem if you lived on the outside of Jerusalem and die. And what happened during this time is that many of the men had died before their wives. They went on first to be with the Lord, or they died before their wives. And so there were a lot of widows that were in Jerusalem at this time. And under the law, it was required for the tabernacle to take care of these widows, to provide for these widows. It was required for the congregation of Israel, for the people to financially take care of these widows. Well, the Greek-speaking Jews, they didn't agree with that. The Grecians, this wasn't a part of their culture. This wasn't a part of their practice. And so they didn't understand why it was that these widows needed to be taken care of. They didn't understand why the widows were complaining or murmuring, or why the Hebrews were murmuring about this, complaining about this. And so the wisdom of God came, and the wisdom of God was to raise up a leadership staff that could take care of this situation in the church. And in verse 2 it says, "Then the 12 called the multitude of the disciples unto them and said, It is not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. It is not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you 7 men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, who we may appoint over this business." So the 12 said, hey, we got a big church here, and it's our responsibility that we continue to study the Word of God, that we continue to pray, that we are prepared in the right way to minister to the people that we come in contact with. It's not the will of God that we do all these things, these natural things, but it's the will of God that we stay in His presence, we stay in prayer, and we are prepared regularly to give the Word of God out to the people. And so they said, verse 3, "Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you 7 men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business." Now look how important it was to serve in this place. I mean, think about this. This would be like you needing a meal every day, and it would be like someone coming along and bringing you a meal every day, bringing you a pork chop meal or a roast or potatoes or whatever it is that you like to eat. Well, anyway, they would bring you a meal every single day. That was important. It was important to God that these widows were taken care of, that these widows were fed. And it was so important that we see that there were certain qualifications that people had to meet in order to serve in this ministry of helps. Number one, it says, "Wherefore, brethren," so number one, they had to be born again. Those that are born again are brothers and sisters in the Lord. "Look ye out among you 7 men of honest report." Even in the ministry of helps, these were men that had an honest report. These were men of character, full of the Holy Ghost. Wow, to serve a schnitzel or to serve a pork chop to somebody, to a widow woman, you had to be born again, you had to be a person of in character, and you had to be full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. How important this was. This was so important that the people met this criteria. Verse 4, "But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word." That's our responsibility, not to spend all day serving the widow women, but to continually give ourselves to prayer and the ministry of the word. Oh, it's so important that people see that, that people see that a minister has time to study, that a minister has time to pray, that a minister has time to get before the Lord and get the message from the Lord to deliver to the people. And the saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and the Holy Ghost, and Philip, and Prochorus, and Nicanor, and Timon, and Parmenas, and Nicholas, a proselyte of Antioch, whom they set before the apostles. And when they had prayed, notice what it says, they set these people before the apostles, whom when they had prayed, so the apostles prayed to make sure that these were the right ones that had been chosen by the Lord. When they had prayed, it says they laid their hands on them. They did what? They laid their hands on them. And the word of God increased, and the number of disciples was multiplied in Jerusalem greatly, and a great company of priests were obedient to the faith. So here we have hands laid upon those that are called to the ministry of helps, those that are called to serve food to these widow women. How important the ministry of helps is. It's an honor to serve the Lord in this way. And you know, and we'll learn this in our class that we do on the ministry of helps. But even if you're called to the fivefold ministry, to be an apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, or teacher, even if you're called to that place, does not disqualify you from starting out in the ministry of helps. In fact, the Bible teaches us that before we go into the fivefold ministry, we should have spent some time serving in the ministry of helps. This is where you get to know people. This is where you make contact, because you understand that when you're in the fivefold ministry, there's going to be a day that you're going to be leading other people, and you will have people that are working with you that are serving in the ministry of helps. And it's important that we learn to be faithful in the ministry of helps, that we learn to work with other people, that we have contact with other people. All those things are important. The ministry of helps is very important to the Father. It's so important that the Father has put it that we lay hands upon those that are called into the ministry of helps and transfer special anointings for these purposes. Well, I see that our time has come to an end again today. It's been wonderful to be able to teach you the Word of God, and I trust that you've been built up. I trust that you've been encouraged, and I trust that you have a much greater perspective on the purpose of laying your hands upon other people. Well, Father, I just thank you again for this opportunity that I've had to be able to minister your word to each and every Bible school student. I thank you for your Holy Spirit that's been on the inside of me that has helped me to teach this message. Holy Spirit, you're the teacher, and you're the one that gives the revelation. And I thank you that you've given us revelation right now in Jesus' name. This is Mark Irvin with From Faith to the Nations International Bible School. I'll look forward to being with you again next time as we continue this series on Foundation for Bible Basics.